Notice that in verse 4, that Paul had an ability because he was close with Philemon. Philemon was individualized in his prayer, and Paul says, I pray for you. And there was a special relationship that they have in verse 5. You see, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. In other words, Philemon was someone who is able to give care and attention to all the saints. He did it to one and he did it to all. So his splunkna relationship was developed in the area of ability to give care. In verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now the acknowledgement of every good thing in a person comes forth as an energizing, like when you receive a prophet as a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. When you receive a righteous man as a righteous man, you see a righteous man's reward. What is a righteous man's reward? The blessings of God. The blessings of God that is on a righteous man comes on you. See, when you're righteous, God blesses. And that blessing comes on you. When you receive a prophet as a prophet, the prophet's ministry comes to bless your life. And as you acknowledge a good thing in one another, it stirs up the gifts in one another. That's an example of how anapao can take place. How are we refreshed together? When you begin to fellowship and develop closeness with your colleagues, with those who work with you, there is a special enhancing of the relationship so that the gift of God that is in your life becomes stronger, and to you it's like being rested afresh, being re-anointed, and you sense it coming strong again. It's very hard to express in words, but every father and mother knows what it's like when your child comes to you after all that you've done for them, many things that you sacrifice and done for them. There's nothing like a little child coming to you and say, and hug you and say, thank you, Mama. Thank you, Papa. I love you because you're my daddy, you're my mama. Money can't buy that. But it makes you proud to be the father or the mother. And that kind of feeling, that kind of encouragement to be an even better papa, an even better mama, comes out in your life. You say, ah, how nice. On your inside. That's how anapao takes place. By the acknowledging of every good thing in your life. You see, those whom you, if you fellowship correctly, those who are around you acknowledge that gift in your life, and it strengthens that gift in you. There's nothing as strong as affirmation and recognition. It strengthens the gift of God in your life. Anapao takes place. And we have here in verse 5, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the love and faith that He has spreads abroad to all the saints. The knowledge, the spread of His ministry and goes forth. And it affects not just one saint, many saints. Anasuko takes place, and there is a certain special doubling of what he does. In verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Here he brings the word splunkna, because the splunkna of the saints have been refreshed. When you understand the meaning of splunkna and what he's saying here, he's saying the splunkna of who? He says the splunkna of the saints have been refreshed, have been set up again. In other words, he's saying, Philemon, Because of your being like Jesus, you stir up the quality of being like Jesus in other people's life, in the saints' life. It's stirring them even to be more like Jesus. And there's something about a togetherness that receives the glory of God. When Jesus says in John 17, I pray that they may be one as we are one, speaking of the Father, and saying that they may be one as we are one, he says, talking about the glory that he has that's going to come on this earth. One day the church of Jesus Christ is going to be so one in the love of God. And the greatest revival that will come forth, with all the wonderful revivals that God has brought forth, the charismatic, the healing revival, the faith revival, and the praise revival, the prophetic revival, and all these things will come to a culmination of love. The love of God being demonstrated in our midst and being shed abroad in our hearts in ways that we can never express. The fullest way that we could perhaps bring it out is from Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prays here in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now the word comprehend, we have described before in verse 18, is the word kata lambano. And the word lambano in the Greek not only means to know, it means to receive. Lambano, to receive. I receive. And when you look at that essence of that meaning that is there, and you put it in, it says that we may be able to receive with all the saints what is the width and height and depth and height and length, and to know the love of Christ. He's talking about something that we can receive only when we are one. There's some manifestation of God that He reserves in the heavens above, which Psalms 133 only touches on. It's like he says, where brethren dwell together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on them. He's only touching on the fringe of that. And we think that's the fullness of it. It's not. It's only the fringe. Jesus gave us the other part in John 17 of some of the things that are going to happen. And here Paul talks about it in Ephesians 3. That when all the saints have Jesus living in them, and the splachna is developed in their life, and everybody delights splachna, and that love unites each other and unites them to the Lord, there's something that that body together can receive which individually they can never. There are some things that you can get when you pray individually alone. But there are some things that you cannot get except when you pray corporately together. It's just like there are some things that we can get into without fasting and prayer. But there are some things that we just need to fast and pray to get into. And there are some things, no matter how much you pray in private, there is a place in corporate prayer which is deep and strong only when splachna is strong, that God reserves. The revival in the book of Acts is a revival of corporate prayer as well. Of course, it starts individually. But let every prayer meeting in every church be full, and you will know that there's something in the air that's about to happen. Until that happens, we only have meetings, not revivals. But the day will come, and it is here, and it has begun in God's people's heart. Corporate prayer is catching on. In the next section, as he speaks about Onesimus, in verse 8, right to verse 16, there's some things that have taken place here. And Paul says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, verse 8. We learn some principles in Paul's approach. See, ethics fall in three areas. There is the ethics of a principle. You know, some principles are just wrong, right? And then there are the ethics of the method. The method. And then there are the ethics of the way the method is handled. I call it style. There are ethics of style too. And we need to be able to flow in those three realms of ethics. Ethical principles, ethical styles, and ethical methods. And Paul, in position, he could easily command Philemon. Say, Philemon, take back Onesimus and don't get angry at him. Forgive him. But Paul used the right style. He got his ethics correct. Onesimus must go back. He got the method correct. He's going to write a letter and let Onesimus be among those who deliver the letter. Possibly Philemon was delivered together with the epistle to Colossians. For Colossians mentioned Onesimus as one of the bearers of the letters together with Tychicus. Paul's style must be correct. My friends, it's not just your ethical principles that kill you. It's not just the ethical methods that destroy you. But it's the ethical styles that paralyze a person. And Paul used the correct method, correct style. He lowered himself and said, I won't command, I mean, it's not the right way. But he says, for love's sake, I appeal to you. You know what Paul is doing? He's on top, Onesimus is down. He climbs lower than Philemon. And he comes to Philemon and says, I appeal to you. He's like kneeling down. How wonderful that is. His style is right. And if we're going to look at that, there are three principles in correction. When you correct someone, number one, there must be love. Number two, there must be meekness. It must be a spirit of meekness. Love, because in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says love covers a multitude of evil. Without love, you'll never be able to cover. Or shield people from the hurts. And then Paul tells us also in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 25, he says that when anyone falls or goes astray, some faults in doctrine, he says here in verse 25, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. There must be humility. And of course, the famous one in 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of God is for correction as well as for reproof, instruction and training on a man of God. But correction is one of those things. So in any correction, and here Paul needs to correct Onesimus, he needs to also prepare Philemon. And so instead of taking the high position, he takes the lower position. And that's the thing about Christians. Christians tend to get influenced by the spirit of this present world of rights. Everybody demanding their rights. And we demand the rights. Rights, etc. and everything. And we forget that the master whom we serve told us that when someone slaps you on the cheek, one side, one cheek, the master in heaven did not say, sue them in court. Our master in heaven said, give them the other side. Here, powder just for you. And we living in our society today that demands rights and rights and rights, we must learn that whatever the world may say, or whatever people may say,